Three, two, one.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that'll link it bad. For the show, then go direct to DLNTS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 833 of the Linux Link Tech Show. Tonight on the show, we have Pat.
Maybe.
I saw his mic go red, but I didn't hear anything. But I did hear him before, but I don't hear him now. For some reason, your mic's not working anymore, Pat. Or you're not getting any audio through to us. We have Joel.
Good evening.
Flying Rich.
From the Orlando Outpost.
And Jammin' Joe.
Hello again.
And yeah, Pat, we see you. You go red. But we don't hear you. But I did hear Pat earlier.
Yep.
Look and see if your microphone's muted on your system there, Pat.
The physical device.
But his microphone is not muted in Mumble.
Right, right. No. But his actual device, maybe there's a mute button on it? Or a power button?
Like my headset has a mute button.
Oh, Joel, did you want to, before we get into all the other cool stuff, did you want to talk about Ohio Linux Fest?
The very little bit of Ohio Linux Fest that I went to. Yeah,
Did you see Mad Dog?
Probably the back of his head. well, the bad part is all the talks I wanted to go see were happening on Friday, and I don't know why.
Oh, you were working Friday, weren't you?
Yeah, I had to work Friday.
So you went on Saturday.
I went on Saturday, and I only went maybe half a day. I really only went for like one session. By the time I got down there, there was really only like two sessions before around lunchtime. So anyway, I went to one on a Linux graphics software where a guy talked a bit about GIMP and TuxPaint and all these other programs that there are. Krita. It was interesting because there was some I didn't even know about. Most of them were very old, but that's the talk I went to. And then after that, kind of right before that talk, I met up with Tony Bemis, and after that talk, we went to lunch over in the North Market. Tony, Ed Little was there, Phil Parada, from the Sunday Morning Linux Review, and I'm trying to think who else went. Ed had a bunch of folks that he knew from the library community that came to Ohio Linux Fest, which is kind of interesting. But the vendor room was like really small. Take two of the small conference rooms that they might have like birds of a feather and put those together, and that was the vendor room.
But did they have a separate, like, open source room or whatever they used to call it? Community room or community area?
Not really. I mean, it was just one room, essentially. And they had and there was two or three empty tables in that. So there wasn't that many people. I don't think there was a single, I mean, FSF was there. I don't remember if there was a single distro that was represented table-wise. Facebook was there. Most of the people were there were companies that were looking for system admins. Workstate, which is a consulting company. Facebook was there recruiting for their – they're building a data center here in New Albany, Ohio. And Lopsa, a couple other – booths like that. That's about all there was. There really wasn't very many open projects there either. But lunch was good. Went over to North Market.
What did you have? What did you eat there? The year before?
What did you say, Pat?
Were there more people this year or the year before?
Oh, more. Yeah, definitely more than years before. I mean, it was a much smaller fest than usual. And like, if I had to say, I would probably say maybe, 12
Okay, that's a good thing, right? Good comparison, yeah, right there. Well, how did it compare? Not talk wise or anything like that, but just the size of it with Self.
I would say smaller than Self for sure.
It was smaller than Self. The Self we went to 2 years ago, like where a lot of us were,
and even last year too. I mean, it was. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, and there wasn't really as much, you know. They did have an after party, which I didn't go to, and it's like I've said in the past, it's hard when you're in the town, when you live in a town and you have family in the town where the fest is, because, you know, they kind of expect you to be around, so.
See, my family doesn't expect anything from me. You just gotta lower their expectations, Joel.
Well, I'm not that kind of guy.
You can't
go
any lower than you are now, is that what you're saying?
No.
Now, Rich, you are in, you do a lot in the VMware environment, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
You still do. Now, VMware has conferences, don't they?
Yeah. So VMworld, was in Vegas, and the VMworld Europe, I think, is coming up soon.
Have you been to any of those?
I was at the one in Vegas last year. Wait, this year it was in San Francisco.
How big was it?
Oh, it's nuts. It is there. Cause look, there is serious effing money with VMware.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, same thing with all of the, and all of the ancillary type things, which what happens, I don't know if anybody's familiar with VMware, but some stuff is open source, not a whole lot, like, ESXi, I think there's the source is out there and you can compile it. God bless you if you can. But, you know, other things are proprietary, but a lot of it, like their vSAN is, to best of my knowledge, is built on Logical Volume Manager, LVM. So, there are a lot of companies out there, and then there's what happens over years is that VMware will buy another technology company. So a lot of things that may have been from a third party at one time are now rolled into the product. So I think NSX, their virtualized networking, was one of those things. There's, you know, backup technologies. VMware made, in the last 12 months, a crazy amount of acquisitions, whether it's container technology, Kubernetes, there's things I don't even understand. I don't know if I sent you guys the descriptions of having to do with slicing of 5G to ensure maximum throughput of data. So they're really going into the IoT world. But I think I'm getting away from what your point of your question was. VMware is huge. There's crazy amounts of talks, crazy amounts of vendors, crazy amounts of swag.
A lot of those vendors are like VMware partners, correct?
Yeah, they may be a VMware partner.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
And, you know, there's, you know, all sorts of backup solutions. So if you're looking for a third party backup solution, you know, in Amazon, they're doing VMware in the cloud. So Amazon and VMware are partnering. And then there's just generic Amazon cloud. So right now, with some of their products, you can push your workload out to virtually any cloud. So you're going to see Amazon and Microsoft and
Hey, Rich,
there.
What are you doing with your microphone, man? I'm hearing all sorts of noise.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, it's laying on my shirt and I'm moving
that's
around.
That's the problem. Okay.
Well, I saw you muting everybody. I'm like, yeah, it's not me. I know it's not me. I was going to say, in regards to that, like, I've been to ChefCon and the Solar Revolution. Right. And some stuff like that. And again, a lot of those are pretty large because they're companies have a ton of money and they're pretty hot at the time, especially when they're pretty hot at the time. Like a lot of people are using them and they get their partners to come help, put on this, you know, and get the, that's a lot of the vendors and the partners and not necessarily just like people who make products for them, or they're also the people who use their products. Like, I know that when I was at Revolution, Target, well, both Revolution and ChefCon, Target had an area there where they were talking about their technology and looking for, they were like a vendor, you know, you get swag from them.
Well, they're all there. I would say they're basically looking for employees is what they're looking for.
So they're, you know, they're there for a couple of things. I mean, they're looking for people. They're also there sharing their knowledge and becoming like increasing the value of their team. By sharing their knowledge and putting on presentations and stuff, and that's a big thing. But I've noticed that I haven't gone to a lot of the other side of that is like Southeast Linux Fest and Ohio Linux Fest, where it's not a vendor; it's like a group putting it on.
Definitely more community oriented on both of those. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. And I remember there used to be a time when it seemed like companies were a lot more willing to come out for these things than they are now.
Yep. Well, not just companies too, but I mean, even people volunteering, you know, like a Fedora booth or something like that, which, you know, Fedora and Ubuntu booths were populated by their user groups, you know, but there wasn't even any of that. You know,
really? So. They didn't have a Fedora or Ubuntu group presence there?
Nope.
What's his name?
What about attendees?
Attendees, you know, that's the other thing, too. It's like the only people I knew, I saw Tony and Phil, Ed, and Murph was there, too. I almost forgot about Murph. Murph was there, too. So I did get a chance to connect up with Murph and say hi. But that's it. Now, you know, Murph was like, well, maybe you guys should have more of you come. And I'm like, I don't know. See, part of the thing that I like about not having a booth when I go to SELF or to the Ohio Linux Fest is being able to be a part of the fest and to actually go to sessions and stuff. You know, so I think if we were to ever do a booth or something, I'd much rather include the SMLR guys, Hacker Public Radio, and anybody, any other Linux kind of podcast that wants to do it, you know, Podnuts, all of them, and just have a table and I'd even be happy to organize the table, you know, to basically say, okay, we need people to volunteer 2 hours here, 2 hours there, so that way we can all go see the
evidently,
show.
Evidently, they did something similar to that at Aug Camp, and they do that like every year at Aug Camp.
Right. I would say there's another part of the problem is like a lot of the HPR guys are in Europe. So, you know, like Ken Fallon and so on and so forth. But
there's always Kevin O'Brien.
Yeah, he's pretty prolific. You know, I didn't even see him there.
Oh, he was. Doesn't he live in Ohio?
He was in Michigan.
Oh, Michigan, that's right.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, so that's the way it kind of fell at Southeast Linux Fest. There was a bunch of people, like there was a handful of people I knew there, but there was a whole lot of people I never saw before, which was a great thing. But again, there was like all the old people that we used to run into. I've only saw a handful of them.
Yeah, like I haven't seen Jono in years other than online and on Facebook, but Jono's doing a lot of things, you know.
He goes to a lot of larger conferences and stuff.
Like Scale and stuff like that, you know, with the Bad Voltage crew.
And developer conferences.
Yep. Well, and he's got his new book, too. Trying to remember the name of it.
He ain't gonna show up in no little piddling Ohio Linux Fest or Southeast Linux Fest, right? It's only what a moolah is for him. Arr! Is that how it goes? Is that what you're saying, Joel?
No. His new book is called People Powered.
There we go. He's a good guy. I like John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Jonah too. And the one thing I like about him, like, well, if you ever listen to, like, Bad Voltage, they'll get into politics, but they do it in, like, a really interesting way. And
unlike
Jono,
how Dan and I do it?
No,
yeah, like how we flop through
not
that
entirely, because most of them actually agree, but Jono does at least attempt to see the other side of things, which that's the thing that I've always admired about him, that he can do that. He may not agree with it, but he at least tries to see the point.
Saying that's something Dan's deficit in? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say that.
But
anyway, that's a High Linux Fest. You know, I'm a little sad that it is how it is. It's not what it was even 8 years ago. But, you know, some of it's just the nature of things. It's like, you know, how many Linux Fests can you guys afford to go to anymore every year? I can afford to go to maybe one or two, you know, and or travel to shows, period, whether it's Linux Fest or Ham Radio or whatever. You know, so like that, my travel to a show this year is going to be to the Dayton Hamvention because I haven't been in a couple years.
Was Moose at OLF?
I haven't seen her in years, thank God.
No Moose sightings.
Was Beth there?
I didn't even. I'm sure she was, but I didn't see her.
Does she still organize it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'm sure she probably was there.
Yes, she was on. She and a lot of the OLF folks were on SMLR. So, in fact, I got a really cool SMLR sticker from Tony at the show. So, but I had a. I'm trying to remember the barbecue place at the North Market. I think you've ate there before too, Pat, or not Pat, Dan, I think, but.
Meaty Mongolian? Yeah.
North Market? Yeah.
I don't know if I ate at the barbecue place. Wait, maybe I did. I remember it.
I want to say the Pork and Barrel. I can't remember.
Wait, wasn't Ohio where we went? No.
I think you're thinking of one of the selfs that was in Spartanburg when we went to Carolina Barbecue, which was fantastic.
Was that with Joe? Not Joe. Sorry, Joe. With Russ and his wife, Sherry.
I was there. Yeah, it was a good place.
There's a whole bunch of people there.
Was that when we went with Russ and Cheryl, though? Right.
I remember Dave Yates being there.
Dave was there. I don't think Russ and Cheryl were there.
That wasn't the one with Russ. Because I'm trying to remember which one we went to with Russ and Cheryl. There was a barbecue place. But I know, yeah, I remember going to that barbecue place with Dave Yates. Pat, I remember that now. I don't think that was the same one. I'm trying to remember whether the one we went with Russ and Cheryl was in Ohio or Southeast Linux Fest. I don't know if they ever went to – did they ever go to Ohio Linux Fest?
They have.
Yeah, they were there. They've been there.
But I don't know if we went to a barbecue place in Ohio, did we?
I remember the barbecue place in South Carolina.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah, that was a good one. Market and Boar. That's where I went at the North Market. Market and Boar Barbecue. It had some pulled pork. It had their original sauce, and they also had the mustard-based Carolina-style barbecue sauce there. I had spicy mac and cheese as one of my sides, and then fresh potato chips, which were fantastic. But they got a Vietnamese place in there, Pho Lan Viet.
So,
bunch of different new places in there.
One of the things that you know I look at with some place like Ohio Linux Fest or Southeast Linux Fest is that. Is community driven and really is dependent upon community involvement and so I wonder if when I look back in the past 15 years, like how it used to be when we used to go to these events on a fairly regular basis to now, I mean, I also remember like back in that time when we were going to these events. Like pretty much all of us were involved in the local Linux user group in our area.
Right.
And I mean, Pat used to get wonderful guests on this show. And there was like a lot of, like we talked to a lot of community people. And then when we kind of had to move different places for a while. We stopped doing a lot of that. And now I'm like, I don't know. Is it still like that in the community? Like, I often question, like, is that community aspect still there? Could we, if we just went out and asked, would we get guests on the show again? And like,
probably,
half the time,
I
don't even know who to ask. What were you going to say, Joe?
Well, probably you'd have to ask. I don't know. I mean, I pulled him on to the Mintcast, but you'll probably talk to one of the maintainers from Void Linux. If you wanted to come on.
Because, again, like, I'm like, it used to seem like we knew a lot, knew the people that we talked to, or, like, we'd run into them or see them, and now I'm like, a lot of those people, I don't know what they're doing anymore. Like Miguel Diacaza or, Nate?
A lot
Friedman?
Of cases, they're, a lot of them are like managers now. They're not necessarily coding anymore.
Right.
You know, and they're just not, they're not as tied into the community as they used to be. But
I think Nat Friedman is like, is he something like running GitHub since Microsoft bought it or something? I thought I saw that. Nobody knows. Everybody's like,
I'm looking. I'm actually, no, we're all Googling. Yeah, he's the CEO of GitHub.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know if he was CEO or CTO or whatever it was, you know. But, yeah. It's just like, you know, I remember back in the day, you used to go to these things and we'd meet up with a bunch of people and it was like this really large event and a lot of people knew everybody, and now it's not like that. And I'm not saying it's like the Fest's fault. I don't think it's Linux Fest's fault.
No, it's not.
Linux Fest. I mean, it's just like, when was the last time any one of us went to a LUG meeting?
Every month.
Oh, you go to your LUG meeting every month?
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't even. I think the LUG is still running around here. That's awesome.
Yeah, every third Saturday, I go to the LUG.
See, for me, it's just I've got so many other things that I've got my hands into nowadays. It's just it's a time thing, you know.
You know, it kills like, kids kill it, doesn't it? Kids kill that ability.
I'm happy to report that Luke should be registering. I don't know if he's got time to register for winter term, but he's going to definitely be registering for summer term or spring term.
I don't always do it, but quite a few times what I'll do is I'll just, you know, pick one of the kids and we'll rotate through and they'll go with me to the LUG.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. See, and that's the other side of that coin too. I never really could get Luke interested in it. You know, he has a computer. He boots it up every once in a while, but 90% of the time, if he's using a computing device, it's usually his phone.
Would you take your daughter to a LUG meeting, Rich? Would she want to go?
You're out of
She's
your freaking mind.
Dude, or, yeah, I was gonna say.
You're out. Well, no, there's nothing I do that my daughter would want to do. There is absolutely.
And you know what, Dan? I have to be brutally honest. I don't want Luke doing what I'm doing.
I'll tell Paula to bring a book, or I'll tell Kai to. I'll hand Kai the Batacera box and let her play video games while we're there.
Right.
And I'll probably do the same for JoJo when I take him. They're not interested in Linux.
Okay.
I've given them Linux boxes to use before, and usually they end up Windows boxes. So
yeah,
that has to do with school.
Who does that?
They'll say, Dad, I need to run something that only runs on Windows, and I need it for school, and I'll install Windows on it.
Oh, I thought you were telling me they were installing Windows on. I was going to say, well, you know what?
Unfortunately, Joe squirreled away the code so that he can redo the installation for them, too.
The nice thing, and yes, I'm paying a compliment to Microsoft, the nice thing with Windows 10 and their free upgrade and all that jazz is the hardware is remembered. So if it's had Windows 10 on it and I wipe it out, I can go back and reinstall Windows 10, and I don't need to worry about a license.
There you go.
Is that because it's when you go to register, it recognizes
the phone's home
device?
Yeah.
Phone's home, Microsoft
it remembers
account.
The hardware, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's not even your account. If it had Windows 10 on it on somebody else's account, it still counts as valid.
That's interesting. I didn't know that, and I got a related story to that, which is a little bit of a segue, if you do not mind. But my daughter was complaining, Helena was complaining two, three days ago that her laptop was broken, didn't work anymore. And, like, I usually hear that, and they're complaining because it's slow or something's not working right, but then she insists on it's broken. I didn't even get a chance to look at it before she's like, I'm not using it anymore. I'm getting Avery's old laptop, which she's not using anymore, and I'm going to start using that. And then that's when she came to me because she couldn't get it working. And come to find out, it was like it was an HP Stream that had Windows 10 on it, I guess.
Oh, boy.
I'm assuming, right? And all it was doing was you'd turn it on and it would show the HP thing. It would blip and then it would shut off and turn on and keep going through the same thing over and over again. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm dealing with. I thought it was a Chromebook at first. I was like, well, you know, okay, we'll see what we can do. Not many options, I guess, because it's a Chromebook. If we might have to wipe it. I don't know, looking at it. And that's when I realized it was Windows 10 just going into this thing and started troubleshooting it, which was a huge pain in the ass because, you know, it used to be that you could hit, you know what, like either F2 or escape
mode,
or something,
right?
You know, to get into the BIOS or whatever it is. But I'm like, I have no freaking idea what buttons I'm supposed to press because all I get is this HP splash screen that doesn't say anything on it, and I press escape and nothing seems to be doing.
Because Dan still has machines that have BIOS and
UEFI. UEFI. So finally I figured out the codes to get on it, and you can get into a Windows recovery partition mode or whatever it is.
Yep.
And so I went in there and followed the steps and it didn't do anything. It gets to 38% and then just says it can't be recovered and goes back. And then the other option is to wipe it out completely and it gets to 38% and it can't be recovered and it just fails. And I'm like, I don't think this is going to work. She's like, yeah, I looked it up on the web and found the problem that I was having and followed those exact same steps and I got the same place that you did. And I was like really impressed at first. I'm like, Dang, I can't believe you did the exact same stuff that I just did. I don't know what else to do. Maybe I should just hand it over to you, let you finish fixing it, right? But
you need to find and install this is what you need to do.
Well,
it actually sounds like hardware.
Well, that's the weird thing, right? I ran all the diagnostics that they had with it and everything was fine. Like it just wasn't recovering. It would not allow it to recover for some reason. I went in and shut off safe mode and did different things and set the date the incorrect way of some troubleshooting tips. They had nothing will let this thing recover. Now, I didn't know because I didn't have any restore media, and I think this was one of those devices that came with Windows on a separate partition to recover from, and it wasn't able to recover from that separate partition. And at that point, I'm like,
no,
what else am I going to do? Because I don't deal with Windows.
I think with the HP Stream, it didn't come with that separate partition. One of the things with the HP Stream is it had really small hard drives inside,
yeah,
unless it's like
a
really late model. Yeah. And what will happen is it'll no longer be able to get updates, and it'll basically brick itself.
Yep.
Now you'll still be able to install something like Linux on it and make it run. I know Leo from Mintcast did that. But
if it's got
too small of a hard drive, you really can't maintain Windows 10 on it.
All right.
Agreed.
Now,
But it sounds like it's not even getting to that point.
Well, I don't know. That would have been nice to know a couple days ago, some of those things. Like,
you didn't ask me a couple days ago.
I know.
Did you?
I didn't even think. I was like, I didn't want to. Like, I'm like, I don't give a damn because it's fucking Windows, right? I don't care about it running or not. I don't like
put
Windows,
Linux on it.
I want to fix my daughter. I'm like, so I got to that point where I didn't know what else to do. And I was in the middle of having to do other things. And like, that's interesting because maybe that's what the problem was, because my daughter hadn't used this in a long time. And apparently it was working. And then I guess something, maybe an update or something happened. I don't know completely, but it was working at first. But then
just send it to me.
Well, I'm not finished, Joe. Hold on a second, man. Hold on. Like, the beauty of this was I said, this is not my area of expertise. I haven't done this in years. I'm probably, you know, I guess I could. I said, look, if you want me to fix this thing right now, there's only one way this is happening. We're putting
Linux on
this puppy, right? And I said, we could try it. And she was like, absolutely, let's do it. I want to get working. So I
your daughter Lillian, here. Right?
No, Helena.
Oh, okay.
No, she's going to be 18 soon. So you met Helena, I think, didn't you?
Probably.
Yeah. So I pulled up 18. I had 1804 on an SD card already, and I just put that in and ran it in live mode just to see if stuff worked. And I was like, I can't believe how well this works. Like, I expected there to be some kind of problem. There was absolutely no problem at all running this thing. I was like really impressed. And then I just like, we're going for it. Wiped it out, installed Ubuntu, and I gave it to her. I said, it's ready to go and updated. Now, it's updated to 1804. It's not updated to the latest, which
1910, right?
Yeah, maybe I'll get around to doing it. And she said, thank you. And then like a half hour later, comes out, and she was all happy that she was able to get her work done and everything. So, bravo, Ubuntu, man. I was pretty happy. But it's interesting that you brought that up, Joe, because it makes me curious as to whether, you know, this thing hadn't been used for a while, and maybe it went in and did some updates. And if you're saying that at some point it just bricks itself because it can't hold it anymore, that's
right.
Interesting.
Well, it'll completely fill up the space in the hard drive,
right?
And while trying to do and download,
my dad's
updates.
Had the same problem. I had one of them Stream laptops, and they only had like a 64 gig drive in it, and that's, you know, that's
man,
not
I
nowhere near
how-
enough.
I love how you say it only has a 64 gig hard drive. That's like my hard drives around here.
Yeah, I got, my work laptop's 512. My Surface is also 512. I think the one on this laptop's 720, if I remember right. But I don't buy cheap laptops. you know, I just don't. But that kind of goes, you know, honestly, the Linux desktop is very, very stable for the most part, and there's not a lot of exciting things happening, and it's just all incremental things, and I think it's part of the problem is it's not as exciting as some of the new stuff.
Well,
you know,
as a product matures, there's less and less new crap going on. It's more refinement.
Yeah.
Yeah, my expectation was, because it was a cheaper laptop, I expected like some funky ass hardware or something that wasn't going to work.
Nah, like, it's pretty straightforward.
And I was surprised that that wasn't the case.
Yep. Well, that kind of goes back towards I did get my Cintiq Superbook, and now I kind of discovered a little bit of why they're not doing so well. I tried the app itself, the Cintiq app, and my biggest problem with it is it basically doesn't completely overtake the built-in interface, so you still had like the standard Samsung toolbar things. I can never get that to go away. I made it get better by basically instead of having the box and the arrow and the button, you know, the basic home screen buttons. I basically went gesture only on it, and that made it a little bit better. But Cintiq was kind of a no-go on it. So then
wasn't
I tried,
that the whole point of it, though?
Yeah, it kind of was.
So Cynthia was.
Was this on the display
or was this on the phone that you're talking? It was a no go or both?
Kind of both. Kind of both. Well, because you have to load the app on the phone, and then basically it's designed. There's really two problems that I saw with it. One is the app needs work before it can really work at that well. Plus then you also had to enable developer mode and then go into ADB on like another machine and change a couple flags in the OS, reboot your phone before you can get things like the windowed interface and stuff like that, which Dex already has. So now I tried to get Dex going on it. I have got now have two USB-C docks. I had that the one that I shared a couple shows ago that has the Ethernet port on it, and then a slimmer one. I tried two different one of those, and about four or five different HDMI dummies, and the most I can get Dex on this thing is that it'll come up. I see the Dex logo flash, and then it reverts right back to the standard Android desktop. So, and then that's using a Display Link application that you can download off the Play Store. So there's something either the one thing I haven't tried yet was getting a higher wattage power supply, but I don't think it's going to work. But what I did do is I plugged, instead of the HDMI dummy, I plugged it into my TV, and then I was able to get Dex going on this on top of the Centio Superbook. Not ideal, because you want to have to hook it up to a TV just so I could do that. In that case, I might as well just hook it up to the TV and bring a wireless keyboard and to be done with it. So, and that's probably what I want to do when I go to Orlando in December. But the interesting thing, though, is the Centio Superbook essentially is just a Display Link device. So I tried just hooking it up just straight up to the laptop. Worked like a charm. It worked just like a third screen, just like my other USB displays. So, and even the keyboard and the trackpad on it worked, too. So, which is pretty interesting. So, it would be really nice if somebody actually did this kind of thing right, because I think it can work. But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work well enough for me to want to rely on it in my personal time when I'm on a business trip. But interesting device. I'm glad I didn't pay full price for it.
But they're not developing Centio anymore, are they?
Pretty much not. Yeah, the company's pretty much moribund. It's still a useful device. I can still do things with it. The only thing I haven't tried with it yet is hooking up a Pi, and that's gonna come. I'm gonna probably buy a Pi to hook to it, so I can just permanently use it with the Pi.
How are your N900s running?
I never had an N900. I have an N810.
Oh, you have the N810. Okay.
Yep. They work okay. I mean, they have whatever the latest supported version of Nemo.
So is there still any development on them?
No. They're not fast. Not even. I mean, they were fine when they first came out, but they are not fast now. But on the other side of the coin, today I received my Osmo Pocket. I went with the Pocket instead of the Osmo Mobile 3. So
is that an Osmo Pocket in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
It will fit in your pocket. That damn thing is tiny.
And it has a Steadicam technology, right? Or whatever they call it.
Yep, it's gimbal built in the top of it, yep.
Right.
Yep, and it's how, the whole thing.
How's it, like, how well does it work for you?
I recorded some video on it today. I did it in selfie mode, and it tracked my face the whole time. I spun around with it still pointing at me, and it didn't miss a beat, kept pointing at me. If you look on MeWe, I did post a panorama I shot with it.
But, oh, I didn't get on MeWe yet today.
But The one thing that I am a little frustrated with, it has like a little cover that covers the way you hook it up to your phone is it's not a physical connection. You can actually get a wireless adapter to put on the bottom of it, which I may get, which basically will let you control it over Wi-Fi. Without that, if you want to connect it to your phone and use your phone for the display, because it has a display built into it, which is, you know, kind of postage stamp size, but it's good enough to, frame the shot. But you can actually hook it up to your phone and then use the phone to frame shots as well as the set settings. And the nice thing is you can fire up the phone with it connected to the Osmo Pocket, set your settings, and then pull it off of the phone and stick your phone in your pocket and just use it as it is. But the screen is actually pretty, it's actually a touch screen. The screen it's built into is actually a touch screen. It's a tiny touch screen, but it's actually fairly easy to use, believe it or not. But one of the things I did do was I printed a little stand on my 3D printer that I can stick it in because it doesn't have a tripod mount. So you stick it in the stand and it actually has a tripod mount, and I actually have two versions of it. The cable would just cut, like if you hadn't wanted to hook up a cable to it at the same time, just comes out the bottom, and then the one I'll probably use all the time, is designed to hold a right angled USB-C connector, so that I can connect basically what it's for, so you can connect like an anchor battery or some sort of external charging source for doing like long time lapses and motion lapses and stuff like that. So, very useful. Plus it also adds the tripod, made out of PLA tripod threads into it. I might see if there's a way to actually put like a hex nut in there that matches the tripod threads instead. That might be a little bit stronger.
Well, the quarter 20 nut.
Yep. Yep. Something like that. Yep. But, I don't know. If the stand itself is actually good enough. So if I just wanted like if I had a rail or a table or something, like I say, I was sitting at a table and wanted to do a motion lapse, it's good enough for that. So, and I don't need, it really doesn't need any more. It's tiny too, but the connector that connects to your phone is actually removable. And then there's a cover. Well, that cover, I don't know where the hell that thing went to. I had the little stand has like a little slot where you can stick that cover or the adapter into it while you're using the stand. And, I lifted the stand and I forgot that was in there and it fell. It's somewhere in here. I don't know where it's at, but it don't matter though. 9 times out of 10, I'll just leave the USB-C connector on there. In fact, the case it comes with actually has a hole for that. The nice thing is when it's in the case, you can charge it. You can access the SD card. And you can also, USB-C connector will also stick out of the case too. So you basically don't have to take anything off to put it in the case. Probably the one thing I do wish, and I kind of echo the same sentiments that, some of the YouTubers I've seen that, have reviewed this. It came with like a little, strap, you know, like some cameras have the strap that goes with, like, designed to go around your wrist while you're using it. Well, the strap goes, attaches to the case, not to the camera itself. Kinda wish it didn't attach to the camera itself, but other than that, you know, that's a minor quibble. But, and there's a lot of different accessories for it. I'm really impressed with it. For as small as this thing is, it's tiny. I mean, it is tiny. I knew it was small, but I didn't think it was this small.
Hey, Joel.
Yes, sir.
I apologize that I don't know if you said this and I missed it, but the picture that you took of the OLF Expo.
That was shot with my phone.
That was shot with your phone.
You are on my Osmo Mobile 2.
You have an Osmo Mobile 2 too?
Yes.
And so that was with the Osmo Mobile 2, right?
Yes.
Man, that expo is really small.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 dudes.
Yeah, and it's like a TV cart holding the coffee. I mean, it's not large. Not like it's been in the past.
Yeah, was Facebook there?
Facebook was there. Like I said, they were trying to hire a Linux people to help run and set up their data center they're building in New Albany, Ohio.
Oh, well,
which is real close to Columbus.
So that was a nice picture that you took there.
But then the one that you see of it's a street. That's my street, actually. My house is not in that picture, but that one I took in there.
This house, you could know.
That's the one I took with a pocket. There's no cars on blocks. There haven't been for 5 years now.
You beat me to it. I don't see any cars in this picture. Where? Oh, there's one neighbor's car.
Yeah.
Two neighbors, two cars.
I need to go out. I need to shoot a motion lapse with this and see how it does with motion lapse.
You see the car come off the blocks and get towed away.
How would they tow it? Oh, they'd have to. That wouldn't be a towing, would it? They have to put it up on that bed.
I also want to try shooting 4K at 60 frames per second, and then when I edit it, I can slow it down by 50% and get slow-mo.
So it does do 4K 60? Initially, when it came out, I think it only did 4K 30, and that was a software upgrade to get the 60.
Yeah, it does 4K 60. There was a firmware update right at the beginning, but...
So I have a question for you, Joel, back on the previous topic. And this is for anybody to jump into, because maybe you have a better opinion or a different opinion. But in talking about the Centio desktop, what is it, the book? What is it called that you got?
Centio Superbook.
The Centio Superbook. That whole idea of popping a phone into and using it with a keyboard and a mouse and a display. Like, we always keep saying, wow, we can't wait for this to come. We feel it's going to be really practical, but nobody's doing it. And is the reason nobody's doing it because nobody really actually wants it? That
I think you hit the nail on the head there, dude.
Yeah, it might be a cool novelty and you might think you want it, but then when you get it, you realize, it's neat, but I'm never going to use it. Except very few, like, niche people might use it, but the majority of people won't even consider touching it because they're like, why? I got to do everything I do right now. Why do I need this other device to lug around? I don't really going to use it, but maybe that's out. Somebody have a differing opinion or thought? I would love to hear it. Rich?
There's your answer, dude.
Sorry, what'd you say?
I was saying the reason why nobody's made, like, or just is not popular, nobody's making the whatever device that you attach your phone into to use it like a laptop or a computer, because nobody wants it.
Huh. Well, now, here's the thing. Like, my wife, what was the Asus, and you could buy the keyboard for it? So there was an Asus tablet. I think it was the Transformer, yeah. And you could buy the keyboard for it, which was a battery, which was almost as expensive as the tablet.
Right.
Which, to combined, they're almost as expensive as a laptop. So the question is, like, what's the benefit on these types of things? Like, my phone is as powerful as, you know, a computer a couple of years old. But I need all sorts of docking and this thing and that thing to get all the ports. If it was a little, could be in the proximity of your monitor and work, that's something different. You know, if there was like a wireless HDMI from your phone, then that would be completely different. But no, if there's accessory hardware that, you know, isn't relatively cheap in comparison to, you know, a Chromebook, a laptop, or something, then I don't see it being a viable product. It sounds like a cool idea, but... I travel around with two Chromebooks and my MacBook. And
you don't fly though, so much.
No, but I like on my weekly trip to Orlando and back.
Right.
I bring my Chromebook. One Chromebook I leave and I play music on for the bird when I'm not around. The other Chromebook I take in my car with me in case, you know, I need to do something. And the only reason I have the Mac is in case I edit video.
You see, and my thing with the Chromebooks, I've never bought one. I've played with them before, but I never bought one, and I can't see the reason to buy one because I have a laptop and I have the Surface Pro 6, you know.
So my Mac, as far as the laptop goes, it so sucks. It's unbelievable. It basically,
well, you got old tone, right?
Yeah, mine's 2012. The battery's only a couple years old, but the battery is, it'll run less than an hour playing video.
Right.
So it's, whereas my Chromebooks, you can play video for, you know, easy 6 hours.
Yeah,
my newer Chromebook, probably 8 hours or more.
Yeah, I think the biggest cost in devices like this Superbook is the screen.
The screen, and the keyboard. You know, a high quality screen is always costly.
Yep. So, I mean, and the rest of it's not that really that expensive. I mean, if you open it up this thing, if you look all over it, it has a DisplayLink logos on it. It essentially is a little bit of a upgraded DisplayLink device with the keyboard and the trackpad, and that's really all it really is. Like I said, on Windows, it just fired right up, and I was able to use both the display. It's a USB hub and a DisplayLink device. That's essentially what it is. You know, and I was able to use the keyboard and the trackpad and use it as a screen attached to my work. I tested it with my work laptop. So I assume it would probably also work with the DisplayLink drivers I got on my Ubuntu machine, too. So, but the screen, I think it's the screen and all that. And for some people, when they're traveling, unlike people like us who are niche, who need, you know, we want, like, for example, what I'd want to have something with me capable of video editing. Technically, I can and have edited some of my YouTube videos on my phone. In fact, the last two or three of them I did on my phone. Using CyberLink PowerDirector as the video editor I used, and it worked great. I will say I did do some pre-renders, you know, like I did like a header and a trailer for the video, so I didn't really have to do a lot of high-powered video editing on the phone, but I did it nonetheless. Now, the one thing I haven't tried yet with the Osmo Pocket is it has a story mode, where basically it's like a templated kind of video creation kind of deal. So
I wonder how much of a feature that is. You know, some items are right. Are in, you know, some things are put into a product to like check the box.
Noobs.
Yes, it does that.
Right, it's for noobs is what it's for. Because basically it gives you a nice framework and it already has the titles, you know, the style of the title anyway. You can probably free edit the text and stuff like that and this is actually going to get a little more towards part of my beef with DJI, because this is using a program called DJI MIMO, or MIMO. I don't know if that's how you say it or not, but that's their program. But DJI has, okay, here's all the I have three DJI devices, three DJI apps, not one. They could technically probably all use one if that's the way DJI did it, but that's not how they do it. I got DJI Go 4 for my Mavic Pro, DJI Go for the Osmo Mobile, you know, the Mobile 2, and the Osmo Pocket uses a MIMO. And they just brought out, and I don't know if you've seen this yet, Rich, but the Mavic Mini. Holy crap, is this thing small.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's designed to get under the FAA's weight requirement.
Yes, it's 249 grams. You do not have to register it with the FAA. It's got, I think it's all the way up to, I don't know if it's 1080 or 720p for the cam. But it is as big as a phone. It's a foldable drone that is big as a phone.
Yeah, so they say it's lighter than your, what is it, the Note Fold or whatever, but...
Yeah, the Galaxy Fold.
And I think it's
yeah.
smaller. But...
Yep. But it uses its own app. It uses an app called DJI Fly. It's like, okay, guys, you're writing all this stuff. The technology in it is all very similar. Why do you have to have a mm-hmm. different app for every freaking device that you buy?
Yeah. So there's pluses. So the plus on something that small, if you want it for the size, you know, just like the Osmo Pocket, that's a big deal. The other thing is there's
Correct.
Requirements of as far as flying a drone, and you know, I don't know if this is because I do have my drone pilot license. Is like professionally, if you're flying a drone, you can't fly over populated areas. Blah blah blah. So, if there was a outdoor rock concert going on, I wouldn't be able to fly over it. Could I fly, over a road, the perimeter where there might be an occasional person walking? Like, it doesn't prohibit me from flying over.
Has to be wiggle room in some of that, too.
Yeah,
I mean, the
way it is, you can fly over areas where you're reasonably certain it's safe. Is mm-hmm. pretty much how it works out to be.
Yep.
Now, what the smaller drone gets away with is, yeah, because it'd be like getting hit on the head with a red Solo cup. You know, no, you might go out,
yeah,
but you're not going to get injured.
Yeah.
So that's, Casey Neistat did a video.
Yeah, I saw his video. That was really great.
Down a drone and they stripped down a GoPro and mounted it on the drone. And, you know, they still had, the first person point of view from it, but it was able, they're able to fly around, fly through a window on a New York City street where you, if it was several grams heavier, you wouldn't have been able to do that. There's FAA mm-hmm. restrictions on that.
But yeah, I mean, it's the Mavic Mini is a pretty neat one. I wouldn't want them, one of those right now. My Mavic is, you know, I'm still impressed with how small it is. It's
yeah,
pretty small.
And you're lacking some functionality on the Mini
yeah.
that you don't have in the Mavic.
Correct.
So,
yeah, the Mavic I can do 4K. So, I mean, yeah. On the
yeah,
Mavic
the,
Pro.
Yeah, the Mavic Pro. Those are very cool drones. And, you know, you pay more also. They're slightly
Correct.
Larger, but as far as... comparing it to a Phantom or something like that, it's significantly smaller, significantly more.
Or the Inspire?
Inspire,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that thing's freaking huge, but I still want one.
Well, and Joel, I want to see your bank account because you keep buying stuff, and I'm like, I don't know how you afford that. I mean, you got to be like, well into like what $300,000-$400,000
a year. No, I don't spend that much a year on junk. Like
no,
that,
I
no.
mean, your salary. You got to be making like $400,000 a year to afford all that stuff.
No, no, you don't have to. Nope.
Rich,
bonuses
you gotta
on
get,
some of that
you
stuff.
You got to get rid of the kid, right? Once the kid's gone, not
oh,
in school
yeah,
anymore.
The kid's going to college now.
That's yeah. gonna. I don't know, say mine's gonna change shortly. I wanna. I asked my wife, I said, did you sign him up for any financial aid at all? And she said no. But then again, I think with Luke, since he's going to take it slow, he's not going to take like a full-time credit load. It might be affordable, you know, because Columbus State's one of the lowest per credit hour options here. It's community college, so it's going to be rather affordable. The thing I'm scared of is the books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The books are freaking ridiculous.
That's a crime. That really is a crime. That's bull crap.
Depending on the class, sometimes you may end up paying more for the book than you're paying for the course sometimes nowadays. And it just depends on the class.
So my daughter got accepted to, I don't want to name the name of the college, but it's kind of like a fallback college. This is like the end of the list fallback college she got accepted to.
End of her
list? She's going to DeVry. That's what she's doing. Or ITT Tech.
Yeah, it's the end of her list, yeah.
Is she waiting to hear back from the other ones?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's got two top favorites, and I'm real sure she's going to get into them. I'm betting she's going to get an offer from each of them.
Ivy League?
Not Ivy League, no.
Ivy League means money.
Yeah,
money.
We don't
yeah.
have that much. Now, if I still had the job at Cornell Medical Center, it would have paid the full bill, no matter where she went.
So sometimes I keep thinking sometimes it'd be nice if I worked for Columbus State again, then he can go for like a, I think he would get like 25% off, I think.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
But no, it's not. No, it's not, because they can only probably pay me about half of what I make now. So, I mean, it's... Yeah, they're definitely not worth it, but especially since now that I know they're going RFP on a new system too, so they said they'll be replacing the system. They may actually be going more expensive, which might be interesting for them, but but yeah, college is not cheap. Dan knows that.
Yeah, Dan does.
Dan's other problem is he keeps bringing kids in, man.
Yeah, too many kids.
Gotta stop making them, Dan.
Too many. Making
well,
them
you
home
only
power, offi-
there's,
not,
a, there's only officially, what, three of them that are yours?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But you brought in a friend for each of the girls, I think, didn't you?
No, just one. There's just one. Oh, okay. I have six kids. I don't have like six kids.
Okay.
I just have,
okay.
There's just four. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, Helena was the one that, she's using the Ubuntu laptop. And making me proud. It's good times.
Yeah. But, one thing I haven't tried is I haven't tried putting some of the video on the Kaden Live yet. I bet you it'll probably be fine. It's just MP4s, so.
So what kind of movie are you gonna shoot with this?
Gonna do a lot of vlogging with it. Vlogging and, if Luke ever goes to an adult tournament, I'll probably take it there. I'm gonna take it with me to Florida.
You take pictures of Rich?
I don't know.
Where are you, Rich?
See, the bad thing.
Did he leave?
Mini PCing.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you should. Joel's gonna bring his GoPro. You guys can hang out in the hot tub together, and make a movie.
My GoPro is really old nowadays. It's the Hero 4. They have what, the Hero 7 or the Hero 8 now?
Eight and the black.
Yeah, and I don't even want one, to be honest. I don't even want one of those.
Joel, what caliber and type of firearm you want me to bring when we go out to the range?
I don't think I'll have time to go to the range. That's the thing about going to Orlando, especially for traveling for a client's one thing. Like when I traveled out to San Diego a couple times last year, that was fun because I could meet up with Link for dinner. I had extra time. Both trips that I could do that. But when I go to Orlando for a corporate meeting, okay, you're eight to five-ish, you're at the office meetings all freaking day. Then you go back, you might have an hour or two, and then you go out to dinner with your team. Yeah, and those might not be every day, okay? But on those days, you get back to the hotel, it's probably 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you're done.
When you roll into town like that for those kind of,
work
away
meetings
things,
all week.
Yeah, you're like, they're like, we're done with the meeting. Now we're all going out together. It's a team building experience.
Yep.
It's hard to do anything else.
And then in the days that the whole team is not doing it together, like for example, I'm sure I'm gonna to ping all the guys on the same level as me, all the senior admins, and say, hey, let's go out to dinner, and it'll be Nate, and Don, and
you should take him to Rich's house for dinner. He's gonna make you a kick-ass
filet mignon, man.
Filet with what, burgundy sauce? Wait, what is
red
it?
Wine
red
reduction.
Wine reduction.
Red wine reduction. He's got a pool. It's heated, right? Well, you don't need to be heated this time of year
yet. Yeah, but the heater's not on. Well, it's
like, gotta
still
remember,
pretty cool.
Half my team lives down there, so that ain't nothing to them. They all live down there.
But have they hung out at Rich's house?
You gotta realize that the Southern Command is 2 hours from Orlando, at least at about 100.
Rich will come pick you guys
miles.
Up.
And I'm in Lake Mary, which is close to Sanford.
Yeah.
The Sanford Airport.
Yeah, so I work over by Altamont, and my place is over by Sand Lake, which is the Dr. Phillips area.
Yeah, it's a ways out.
So, Lake Mary is closer to where I work, so, like, if you want to meet after work, we could hook up.
There's lots of good places around Lake Mary to eat, too. I know.
And, we could just, like, stand by a pond and shoot gators. They let you do that here.
Is there restaurants that serve gator down there?
Yeah, there are. I haven't seen any in a while.
There are restaurants here that serve gator.
But they make the gators prepay?
Yes. Cash and
I have had, frog. I've had shark. Shark is good, but you can't hardly get it anymore. Venison I've had. I've had buffalo. That was at Ted's Montana Grill. You ever come into one of those?
It's the first time I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, it's Ted Turner, actually. Ted Turner's Montana Grill.
Does he colorize the food like he does the old movies?
That's
Ted Turner colorized classic?
That's the strange place. What they will do is when they take your order, each of the tables are covered with like a craft paper, the brown craft paper, and then they'll write your order on it on right on the table with a crayon. It's just pretty funny.
The butcher paper.
Yep. And then the restaurants have freebies, you know, they have fresh pickles, like
they make
in the morning.
Pickles?
In the morning they were actually cucumbers. And now, by the time they get to your table at dinner time, they're actually pickles. So they're the fresh style pickles. They're not the ones that've been canned and in a jar for a while. But you can get buffalo burgers or beef burgers there. I had a buffalo one there, and it's pretty good, pretty good.
Was that like in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah, there's one in the Arena District, actually. When I was in San Diego. And I'm going to echo what Link told me, because I told him I was going to go to lunch at In-N-Out one day, and he's like, they're okay, but they're not great. And everyone you ever hear, especially if they lived in California, they're like, oh, In-N-Out is so good. You know what? They're overrated. Whataburger is better than In-N-Out, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't know, Joe probably wouldn't agree with me, but.
No, I like Whataburger. I mean, you got good fries and good shakes.
Yeah, I think the last time I had Whataburger was when I was in Mississippi. There was a Whataburger in Mississippi when I was there in Jackson for Bellhaven University. That was
I figured you for a Five Guys man.
Five Guys is delicious.
Hey, quit commenting on Joel's sexuality. Just let him
know. Columbus mentioned something about Five Guys in his mouth.
We've had Five Guys for years, but when we finally got in it, it's
Dan,
ironic.
Can you cut that one? Can you cut that?
It's ironic where they opened.
Where Joel said he's had Five Guys?
Anyway, no, we got a Shake Shack in Columbus now, too. And they opened at Easton Town Center where McDonald's used to be. I'm not kidding. It was McDonald's for a long time, like when my son was little. And then I'm trying to remember if it was something else. But then Tesla opened up a little showroom there. And since then, the Tesla thing has moved out because Tesla has their own full dealership now in Columbus, and Shake Shack opened up there. I've heard it's good, but Link says that's his favorite place in California to go for a burger.
You know what's not good
for a burger? going for a burger.
You know what's not good? Steak and Wait.
Steak and Shake?
It's got to be Steak and Shake.
Yeah, definitely not my favorite of that kind of place.
Yeah, I've never been to Shake Shack. I don't think I've been to Shake Shack. But
I've
Steak
been to Freddy's when I was Freddy's. There's a place called Freddy's, a chain in Cali called Freddy's. It's really good. It's actually kind of close to Steak Shack, but I think they're better. Not Steak Shack, Steak and Shake, I mean. And I need to try Smash Burger. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Steak and Shake, man. Every time I've been to Steak and Shake, it sucks so bad.
It's been disappointing, isn't
it? It's awful. I'm like, look at, like, it looks like, you know, you don't go to a place like that and expect it to look exactly like it does on the menu.
Right.
But when on the menu, it makes it look like this wonderfully, you know, huge, lush vegetable laden, burger that's just on a soft, fluffy bun, and it comes out and it's like wilted lettuce with a burnt burger.
Flat bun.
Yeah, flat bun. And you're like, wait a minute, this is not even close to what I think it should be. Like, it's always been terrible.
You know what I miss that I haven't been to in years, mostly because there aren't any in Ohio anymore? Remember Friendly's? Well, yeah, there's gyms in Ohio, but no.
Friendly's. I've never even heard of a gyms, but yeah, there's Friendly's down here. There's like one of them, I think, 20 miles away.
I don't even want to go for their food. I'd want to go get me a Sunday there.
Reese's Pieces. Sunday.
That's the best one they got. It's so decadent and so not good for you, but that's the one I want to have.
What's
in my life. No, Joe was joking. Gym, like, is in physical, like, plant fitness.
Oh, man, speaking of that, I saw this guy yesterday. Holy
hoagie crap. Guy!
No, he wasn't a hoagie guy. But he was like, I was just like, I said to my wife, like, is he wearing one of those fake muscle shirts? But he wasn't. I mean, he was like, he looked like they chiseled him right out. And he wasn't like ridiculously roided muscles. I mean, he just looked like you couldn't get any more muscular and fitter than this guy looked and without doing like massive amounts of steroids.
He wasn't ridiculously
built, but he was like, he was just solid. And it was very impressive.
I need to go back tomorrow. I didn't go yesterday last 3 days I haven't gone. But I actually have an excuse because one of the things that I ended up doing Saturday after I went to OLF, the wife's like, "Let's go to IKEA." I'm like, "Oh shit, we're gonna buy stuff I gotta put together," and I was right. We both got new dressers for our bedroom. So Sunday, after church, I get home from the board meeting, I put together mine. I did not finish it till about 10 o'clock, and I was like, I was beat, man, just moving boards around and getting screwing the screws into everything just so that it, you know, would all be built. So I built mine, put mine in, took all the clothes out of the old one, carried the old one out into the living room where it's still sitting. Packed it up. And then Monday after work.
It's not up on cinder blocks, is it?
No. No, they're nice. Sorry, they're Hemnes. Hemnes is the line I got. They both match. They're the same color and everything, which is going to be the first time in, like, since we've been married, we've never had one that matched.
Did you build your wife's yet?
Yes.
I was going to say, why didn't you build hers first?
She, because mine was smaller and easier to do.
Oh, I thought they were the same size.
We could not fit. Hers is like the longer one, she, you know, I give her, she got the long one, I got the taller one, okay? And hers is, they're both bigger, it's funny, they're both bigger than the ones that we had. So we actually have space in the drawers. My old one, I had since I was 17. Mom and dad bought it for me, and I just brought it out here after college, you know, and I've had that thing. That thing's 30 years old, at least.
So what's wrong with it now?
It's falling apart for the most part, you know.
Well, it sounds like if it lasted you 30 years, it must have been really solid to begin with.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those ones that was put together too, but it was one of the nicer ones. Mm-hmm. Kind of one of the ones, I don't know if it came from IKEA too, or not. I know it was all wood. And my dad had to finish it. You know, after he built it, he would put a finish on it too. But if I remember right, but hers was a hand-me-down from her mom and dad. But and they were both just ruined. I mean, they're just, you know, kids, and you know, I was so pissed. I just finished putting my wife's together, and it sat in the living room for a day till we can the next day. Yesterday we moved it in to the bedroom, moved hers out, and
Wait, is your bedroom on the first floor or the second floor?
It's on the second floor.
And what's the living room is on the first floor, right? Why didn't you build it in the bedroom?
It's on the second floor, too. It wouldn't fit.
Oh.
Wouldn't fit. There was just not enough room to lay the boards and stuff, so I just built it out in the living room.
Yeah. Okay.
But so then I come out, like, the morning after I finished it, and there's a coffee ring on it, and I'm like, Luke! I was so pissed. I'm like, this thing looks beautiful, and you're sitting here putting your coffee ring on. Clean your crap up.
It didn't stain it, did it?
No, it didn't. Unfortunately, we went with the darker wood, so okay. Because you can get, they had them in like black, gray, a dark wood, and like a reddish wood, which we almost got, but then they didn't. We discovered that in the reddish, red brown one, they only had the one my wife wanted, not the one I wanted. So I had to got a different color, so we went with the dark brown, which it looks nice. I mean, it looks nice. It's like a dark cherry, but everything I've ever bought from IKEA has lasted years and years and years and years. I mean, I still have a table that when I was in high school, when we moved to York, right, like where I ended up graduating high school from, they bought two couches and a little side table for each of us, and that's what we did in our bedroom. So after we were done sleeping, because they were like fold out couch, you can fold the bed out and sleep in it. So we'd fold it out, sleep, and then fold them up and just fold the sheets and up all that up in it. And then, like, after school, if we had friends over, we can come in and play video games on the Atari 800. You know, we'd just drag the couches over in front of the computer, and we'd have something to sit on because they were light enough. but the table I still have, the couch is long gone, but the table I still have, it's downstairs, and it's got paint all over it now because I've been using it to put paint and stuff on it because I don't care what happens to it because it's so old, but it's still strong. I mean, it's a lac table is what it is. And they've made that thing for that same design for 30 years. But everything from IKEA I like. I got, my office is almost all IKEA. Except for, what I got my 3D printer it's sitting on like a tool chest right now. But I was a little tired for putting stuff together and moving furniture around. So I didn't make it to the gym yet this week. I'll probably go tomorrow. Ugh. And I got.
Yeah, I'm back to going pretty much 5 days a week.
Good for you. I need to get back in that habit.
Yeah, I picked up the gym at work. So at lunch, I'll.
You have a gym
go
at
do
work?
Something. Yeah.
They let you do that, use it for free?
No, it's like $11 a month.
Huh.
Well, that's still not bad.
They got showers and stuff there too?
Yeah.
That's good. I just need to get back in the habit of going more than a couple times a week. That's about what I make it. But you know, I would feel worse if I wasn't just so busy and active doing other things too. Like Friday night, we're almost always hitting the grocery store, and I usually end up going to Sam's Club, and I walk almost every aisle of Sam's Club, you know, and even if
spend
I don't
the extra
eat
the time aisle. In the ice cream aisle.
They don't have any ice cream I want at Sam's Club, to be honest. Okay, maybe
have you tried the oat milk ice cream?
Not the oat milk, but I've tried like Halo Top is good.
Dude, try the oat milk ice cream.
I'll have
to. I haven't found any of those that I dislike.
Interesting.
What's the name of the oat milk ice cream?
Hold on. Hey Jackie, what's the name of the company that makes that oat milk ice cream?
Oatly?
My wife doesn't remember either.
Is it Oatly?
Oatly? Is that it? No.
Annie Oatly?
Annie Oatly.
I was just curious. I've never seen oat milk ice cream. Now I'm want to get some.
Oh, well, I don't remember the company and neither does the wife, but she's looking it up right now. She has that crazy thing called the internet.
Well, that's what I look.
Yeah, I am too.
On the internet for oat.
They have this one. It's called So Delicious.
Okay. There's Oatly too. Oatly. Ooh, oat, and there's also one called So Delicious. You said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. Oat milk. Peanut butter with raspberry. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's like having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That sounds really good.
it is really good. That, and they have this one that's like this apple crisp. Apple crumble.
That sounds good too.
Oh.
The caramel apple crumble?
Yes.
Oh.
Wait, that's so delicious, right? You're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll have to get me some. But I you know what I did in my air fryer, Dan? I made a Boboli pizza, and it worked great.
How'd you fit a pizza in there?
It's big enough to fit the personal size. Size one, not a full size one. No,
oh,
but
the
like
Boboli
a,
pizza. I have not.
Yeah, the little 9-inch one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Sam's Club actually has a pack where you get like eight, like six. It's either six or eight of the two pack of the crust, and it comes with the sauce and everything. The only thing you really have to buy is cheese and pepperoni or whatever other toppings you want on it. So, but I just sprayed the grid down with some Pam. So it wouldn't stick, and I put it in there for like a couple extra minutes so that it would warm up a little bit, you know, before it really got into the cooking. But it came out pretty good. The crust was nice and somewhat soft. It's kind of crunchy, but not you know, it wasn't as I don't think it was as crunchy as it normally gets in the oven, but
mm-hmm.
But nice for a quick little pizza or something, you know. It's better if I get the personal size ones than if I order like one day, I think it was Monday. Sunday when the wife took Luke out to do stuff, and I was at home for dinner by myself. I went to Little Caesars and got a pizza, and I did bad things to that. Yeah, I ate most.
What did you do to the pizza?
Huh?
What did you do to the pizza?
Like, ate the whole thing almost, a whole large, by myself.
Does that mean you're not going to the gym on a regular basis?
I get there at least once a week now, but I've been doing okay. I've been maintaining. I haven't been losing, but I've been maintaining. So I'm not ballooning, but I'm not going the direction I want to go. But, you know, then it didn't help that trick-or-treat night was fucking cold here. And I bought like $60 worth of candy to give out. And I sat out there for 45 minutes. I looked at Luke because we usually sit outside for trick or treat in our neighborhood just because it's easier. And I looked at Luke and said, I'm done. Are you? He's like, yep. And we still have candy. I need to take the rest of it to church and just give it to the children's
Bring
ministry.
Bring it to the office. I'm teasing.
What office? Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I have a home office, and if I bring it to the office, I'm going to sit here and eat the shit. But, because I got Kit Kats, I got Milk Duds, I got Almond Joys, peanut butter cups. How Lily doing trick-or-treating, man?
She got a lot.
Too much, usually, but...
Isn't it always too much?
I got one story for the night. And I meant to announce this earlier on, like once we went live with the podcast, we should have said, hey, you've got to listen to the tail end because there's a good fight. But the ESXi for ARM is rumored to come out in 2020. So if you want VMware on your Raspberry Pi 4 with 4 gigs of RAM, it may be available in 2020.
Is that gonna be do you think that's gonna be a, gonna work?
I don't know if it's gonna be a paid product. See,
is that like the controller for it? Like you run the controller on there and it would.
Well, what I would want to do, 4 gigs of RAM on a Raspberry Pi 4, I would want to use it as a host because a regular Raspberry Pi, or until now, only had 1 gig of RAM. Theoretically, you could run at least 3 virtual machines, maybe a fourth one on it. And then you could set up a cluster, and then you can have failover and all of those kinds of things going on. So, it's kind of interesting experimentally, because what is a 4 gig Pi 4 is, what, $55? You know, if you have a, it's not CompUSA, if you have a Micro Center nearby. So for, you know, $150, $160 or whatever it is, $165, you could have yourself a Raspberry Pi cluster and, you know, just experiment or learn clustering, how it works and failovering and, you know, doing live migration stuff like that. But I really believe, based on my conversations with people at VMware, is that they thought it was going to be like an IoT endpoint security type thing. That was what they saw ARM as. They didn't see ARM as an ESXi host. They really saw it as, you know, securing an endpoint. But I think now that, you know, there's consumer grade, like a data center grade ARM machine is kind of rare and, you know, just because there aren't so many of them, your dollar per horsepower, you know, CPU cycle is pretty high relatively. But now that we have, you know, readily available consumer grade stuff with at least 4 gigs of RAM, that's getting kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know, for a home lab at least.
I pasted the link for the, there's the fandom page for the Centio Superbook on how to get, the Raspberry Pi working on it. So I think I'm gonna buy a Pi 4 and use it with that, probably. It'll probably just have to, what it might do is get like a, some double stick tape and stick the Pi right on the back of the screen. So, although I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how I could power it though. I might have to put a battery in the back for it too.
Hey, I dropped the link in the IRC and I want to say hi to the folks out in the IRC there. I see Greybeard. And trolls, I said hello to earlier. tuxes out there.
Well, and one important thing, not to go back to the IKEA stuff, but the dressers that I put together, they're made out of wood, like real wood. They're not MDF or particle board, which that was impressive. I thought there would be a fair.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. Nope. It's all straight up wood. Yep. I think even the top, it might be the only questionable piece, whether it's MDF. Yeah, the top might be a piece of MDF, but all the boards that went together to make it was all straight up wood. There was the cam lock kind of construction with it, you know, cam locks and pegs, you know, combination of things and nails in the back. You know, so technically that's probably
that. Did you make sure you strapped it to the wall so it doesn't fall on anybody and crush it?
I ain't done that yet. I have the kits, but I haven't done that yet. It's nice to not have little kids around the house. If my son does it, the worst he'll get is a broken rib or something at most.
All right, guys, it's 10:14. I'm dropping off.
Yeah, we got to start closing this thing up here.
Rich is a pumpkin.
Damn right I am.
Getting a little late.
All right. Thank you, everybody. This is...
Episode 833.
The week... I'm trying to think of what... Yeah, this is the week of Linux Lugcast, right? First and third Fridays of the month. This is the first Friday of the month, correct?
Technically, last week was Linux Lugcast because Friday was on the 1st.
But Netminer, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Netminer and Honky were both not feeling well, so we moved it to this upcoming Friday. So you are both correct and incorrect.
There we go. All right.
I missed... Yeah, this is the wildest thing with Planet Fitness is, the first Monday of every month.
It's pizza night.
It's pizza night.
Yeah.
And free bagels on the second Tuesday of every month. So next Tuesday.
Carbs.
Bagel day.
I just had a bowl of ice cream.
I go to the gym and I spend 30 minutes on the elliptical and says I burned like, you know, 200 calories. It's like, really? Really? So your bagel, you know how many calories in that bagel?
About 3 or 4.
300, 350.
Right?
About right.
Eat two bagels, that's like a whole 8 hours on the frickin' elliptical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The bad part with the pizza night is it's never good pizza. Like one night it was Little Caesars, and another night it was, like, I don't know, wasn't even good stuff. It's like 9 times out of 10 when I go in there, when the free pizza's there, I look at it and I'm like, no. And I like pizza. I'll eat any kind of pizza. Dude, I eat Little Caesars pizza, so that's telling you something.
At least they're cheap.
As a New Yorker, in being used to having good pizza, not that it's great pizza, but it's decent enough. Costco
but Little Caesar's
is pretty good.
You know what? I bet you it is. I know Sam's Club is. I've had Sam's the stuff you buy and take it home and bake is actually not horrible. But no, I munched on some homemade Chex Mix because it is that time of year. I get the 3-pack of Chex at Sam's Club now, through the holidays. So not next week, but when is Thanksgiving?
That's not this week, not next week.
Not the week after, but the week after.
Yeah, it's 4 weeks from now or something like that.
So it's the 28th.
Yep.
Well, it would have been my mother's birthday.
Hmm. Well, we'll wish you happy, hopefully, happy birthday.
Well, she's gone.
Memory. Yeah, I know, in memory.
Dad is doing I think he's smoking a chicken and a roasting a turkey.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, he sent me a message that says, "Too bad you're not coming for Thanksgiving. I'm roasting a turkey and smoking a smoking a breast." He said.
All right, I'm gonna play us out. Hear your promos.
See ya.
All right, thanks a lot. Here we go. Play it, play it, play it.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Haunty Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son.
What the frick?
So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Mm-hmm.
What's that link for, Joe?
Oh. Evidently, I was on an episode of State of America. It says, "Welcome back for episode 10. This week, David and Ian welcome guest Joe Boylan for a healthy discussion about one of the most important parts of the band, the bass player."
Oh, I didn't know you were a bass player.
I didn't either.
Joe Boylan.
What is this? I didn't know you know the Black Crowes.
I didn't either.
Hey, I was wondering, is there a relative of yours that sells steak on a stick? Every year at the Pumpkin Show, there's boiling steak on a stick at the Pumpkin
Show.
Well,
I know that I have cousins that own the Boylan's Soda Pop Company.
Which I've also heard of.
Yeah, we got Boylan's all over the place down here.
Mm-hmm.
And in grocery stores primarily.
Yep. My brother-in-law was down near you, Dan, not too long ago.
Oh, yeah? Hold on. I got to stop the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
So goodnight.
Don't give it away. It's a good thing I didn't start recording yet. I mean, I just started now. We didn't spoil it for the people at the end of the show.
Not my fault.
It comes at the end. It'd be backwards.
I know.
It'd be just as backwards as, like, Terminator or whatever, take my money from me.
Wait,
anybody see that movie? It totally sucked.
Is he talking about the new one? Wait, the new one's not out yet, is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It came out. Yeah, it's total SJW. Dan, you'll like it. It's completely SJW.
But did you see it?
Yeah, yeah. The new John Connor is an illegal alien Mexican girl. She's going to save the future. She's 4 foot tall. You got girl power.
And Linda Hamilton's, what, in her 60s, and she still can kick ass?
Yeah,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
You know, Linda Hamilton definitely carries the role, because you don't question her, but the androgynous, 7 foot tall, could be a guy, could be a girl, from the future savior, just doesn't quite cut it.
How's Arnold?
Oh. Arnold is Pops. He's like Pops from the last movie. From Genesis. Now, I like Genesis, even though Genesis got panned, but... Anyhow,
I thought it was
save
decent.
This for the show, too?
I'm sorry, Linda Hamilton's only 63.
Yeah, I think they made her look older in the movie.
Likely.
What, was James Cameron involved in this one?
He phoned it in. Literally, he phoned it in. They put his name on the credits, but he was never present. He called in on a telephone once in a while.
There is a point that you need to stop making sequels. Terminator has been there. I think Star Wars is right about there.
Oh, no, Star Wars, they jumped the shark. The shark has been jumped.
I mean, they can probably redeem themselves, but they probably won't.
They brought the Game of Thrones guys in, and they fucking bailed on them because they couldn't take it anymore.
No, I haven't watched any of the recent Star Wars movies, so how did they jump the shark?
If you can blow Han Solo, I fell asleep during Han Solo, and I was just so happy there were explosions at the end. Otherwise, I would have woke up in the theater alone the next morning.
See, the whole, probably the worst part was just how Luke was in The Last Jedi. Just doesn't sound like his character would be there, but I guess it is, but...
Well, Yoda did keep coming back.
Yeah.
It didn't stop him.
Yeah, or Yoda Obi-Wan. Doesn't age. I mean, that's good for him.
Oh, and then there was Rose Tico.
I don't know. I would say, in my opinion, I mean, if you like Star Wars and you go in with expectations of Star Wars, then you'll get a movie. Star Wars. It's like
a movie that's vaguely related.
It's like the. So you can see, like, with what was the first one? The Force Awakens is like another. New Hope.
Remake of the Death Star, yeah.
And remake of New Hope. And then The Last Jedi was like a...
I don't want to say it was a train wreck.
It was like a remake of Empire, but it was... I mean, it's kind of similar where they're being chased by the Empire, well, the First Order through the whole movie, but it's not the same. I don't know.
And you had Admiral Purple Hair.
I mean, you've heard the spoilers already so far, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, hey, remember your heroes from the first three movies that came out? We're going to kill them all.
They should have done that in the first movie, but, you know.
They all failed, and now they're going to die. I was like, whoa, what happened? They destroyed my childhood.
Right, yep.
I'm still trying to figure out how Palpatine is back in the new movie. Because there's the... Oh, well,
in the
book, at least
there
in the
was the Palpatine clone.
Right.
And then, like, Solo... At the end of Solo drops this, like, so if you're not, if all you do is watch the movies, right? Solo drops this bomb at the end of the movie and you're like, what? Like, what is this all about? And how are they ever going to carry forward with any of that? You know, like, what's the point of that?
I'd have slept through that. What was the bomb?
When it was, Darth Maul.
Oh.
At the end was the one that had hired that. Whatever her name was, or whatever that was, had done that. Said, now you come to me, and we're going to go from there. But I guess that's like a reference to one of the animations. I don't know if it's Clone Wars or whatever it is.
Probably Clone Wars.
I think there's two of them. I forget which one it was. It might be Clone Wars. Because I looked it up, and I was like, what? How is he still alive? But apparently he's running around. The one thing I never, like... Okay, have you seen, so, this I don't like, right? This I don't like, cause, have you seen the trailer for The Last Mandalorian, what is it, Mandalorian?
The Mandalorian.
Oh, the show that they're planning on doing?
Oh yeah, The Mandalorian, not The Last Mandalorian, The Mandalorian. Have you seen it?
No.
Wait, is this Iron Man?
No, this is, Boba Fett. I saw that and I'm like, shit. I really want to see it now. Because it looks great.
It's on the new streaming platform.
Is it Boba Fett or Jango Fett, though?
Well, I don't know. It's one of the Fets. I don't know. But it's on
Disney. It might just be the Mandalorians.
I think they're rewriting everything. They're completely throwing out in the trash and just starting over from scratch.
I mean, the Mandalorians weren't a race, per se, but they were a group of people that wore Mandalorian armor.
Right. You see, and the whole thing, really, I'm like, does nobody have any original ideas anymore? You just have to remake a freaking, another Star Wars movie, another Star Wars, you know, at least you can say because they're doing that with Battlestar Galactica again.
Why? Wait. Did you say they're doing a Battlestar Galactica again?
Yep.
How can you do that again? You can't do that again.
It's on the Peacock Network.
Oh, no.
The Peacock streaming service. That's NBC streaming service.
You know, when I was a kid and watched the original Battlestar Galactica, I mean, that was the crack. And it was kind of like canon for me. But the new one they did, holy cow, was that so
it was great.
That was kick ass. And you know what? I didn't feel SJW'd because they had a female, what was her name?
Starbuck.
Starbuck was female. You know, Boomer was a female.
Well, and if you're gonna do that, the way they did that was perfect because it was, you know, they didn't really, I mean, they had the same names, but they really weren't at all the same characters at all, and really not even a lot of the same lore either.
So, I'll tell you what, when they SJW movies, the problem is, So we've had strong female characters in movie. Look at Sigourney Weaver in Aliens. And nobody said, oh, this is SJW bullcrap. There've been many movie genres with strong female characters. The difference in this Terminator.
Look, seriously. Why do we gotta talk about this? Cause you know I'm gonna disagree with you. I think this is full of shit what you're saying. So why are we gonna bring this up?
Well, let me finish.
What the fuck is an SJW movie?
Oh, please. All right.
Really?
Yeah, I'm getting there. So the problem with an SJW movie is they have to make the female character superior to the male character and the male character significantly inferior.
But that's what they do in all movies. Like every male lead movie, it's the same thing. The male lead has to be superior to everybody. It's a trope. It's what's done. Who cares if it's male or female? That's what's done in every fucking movie.
It's done in every movie.
Just because they change it to a female, you're like, oh my god, it's an SJW warrior movie.
It's not a let it go, Rich. When the new John Connor is a 4 foot tall illegal alien Mexican that was captured by Border Patrol, it's like, how SJW does it get?
Why is that SJW? What's wrong? Like that's a story. That's plausible. It could happen.
But they're basically taking the whole lore of what happened and throwing it out
the only thing she didn't do
is
drink water from the toilet.
But that's what they do all the time. That sells money. They just keep remaking stuff and changing it. They do that all the time. They've taken a page right out of the comic book industry of doing
that. My wife and I, we both didn't enjoy the new Terminator movie. One, cause look, the women want to see a buff guy, you know, a good looking guy in the movie, and there wasn't. You know, the Terminator from the future was the Apple Genius guy from a commercial, you know, some Latino guy. So it's Latino Terminator. It's 4 foot tall, John Connor, who's an illegal alien Mexican, and, androgynous women that so there's no eye candy for the guys or the girls whatsoever. And if this is the future that the SJW movie creators are going to go in, nobody's going to come out to the theater.
Again, I have to ask you, why is that SJW?
Why is it not
because
SJW?
You don't approve of it? Because you don't like it? It doesn't tickle your fancy? Now it's an SJW movie?
Well,
that's absurd.
Okay. So, in any of the Terminator movies, you have a strong character, you have, also there's character development.
So you're pissed because they changed it. They made it different.
No, I'm not pissed because they changed it. I thought,
they changed. It's not the same thing, but when they give you the same thing, you're pissed because it's the same thing.
I thought the last Terminator, the previous one, was good.
Right, if there's a good way to change something and there's a bad way to change something, if you're just changing something just for the sake of changing something, that's the bad way. If you're changing it and putting a good story behind the change,
that's something I can get behind. There was no story worthwhile. There was really no justification for any of the SJW crap that they threw in there.
But again, you keep launching this SJW crap. It's a fucking story. Just because it doesn't follow your traditional molds, doesn't mean it's an SJW crap. Why is everything like that you said there? What is SJW about it? An androgynous
illegal
character?
Alien Mexican.
So an illegal alien Mexican. You're trying to tell me that there's not illegal alien Mexicans in this country right now? We can't write stories about them? We can't use them as characters because all of a sudden it becomes an SJW?
But God forbid
SJW?
Somebody opens a taco truck. Then we're all screwed, you know? If Arnold Schwarzenegger opens a taco truck...
About SJW, wait, I hear it's, oh, it's different, I don't like it.
It's not a bullshit complaint. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, is a drapery salesman. And he goes off about how little girls' draperies have to be a certain way. So yes, mic drop. It's SJW. And all he's doing is changing diapers for this woman that he kind of is a family with. What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with it, it just doesn't make a very good story.
That's the problem.
You don't want your Terminators changing diapers and hanging draperies.
What was the point that they were making? That he's not a Terminator anymore.
That it's completely SJW. You know what? How about he works in an iron mill or something?
Just move on, dude. SJW shit, sound like an asshole. Whatever, I don't care. Let's go and start the show. Let's do something relevant instead of listening to your bullshit.
Woo!
Let's get some, like, technology bullshit in here.
And I brought it, too. Boo.
All right, so this is 8:33. Are you ready to give us a count around, Joel? Not yet. Yep. Not yet. Hold on. Hold on. I gotta make sure I got.
Yeah. Why? Why don't you do your job, Dave?
Because you're too busy poking the bear there, Rich.
You mean like poking the muskrat, maybe not a bear.
Oh, right.
That's funny.
All right, ready? Give me a count around.